Welcome to HQAF Radio.
I'm Alana.
And this is a show about two best friends. All right. Welcome back, everyone. It's me, Alana, here with my brother, Patrick, again, here to talk a little politics because we're coming up on a really big election. The election is just 2-3 days away as we're recording this. Today is October 31st, Halloween, when we're recording this. So there's a lot of interesting movement that's happened since we last recorded. I believe the last time we recorded was back in September. So naturally, a lot of information has been unearthed, a lot of October surprises, probably some record-breaking October surprises for this election cycle. But yeah, I thought it would be interesting, as we're a couple days out from the day of the election, just to kind of talk through what we think is going to happen, kind of based on the polls that are out right now, with things, I mean, there's very little time for things to really change dramatically, I would say, although I'll let Patrick speak more to that. And yeah, just kind of give our hot take on where we are and where we're headed a couple days out, because I thought it might be fun to just see what it looks like. So I guess first and foremost, let's talk about, what should we talk about? Should we talk about the maps? Should we talk about polls so far? Should we talk about probability predictions right off the bat? How should we begin this? Because you're the political expert, Patrick.
I mean, we should talk about everything.
Okay, so what would make the most sense to begin with? I'll let you take it from here.
Well, we can talk about where the state of the race is. And the state of the race is, at least according to 538, Biden has a 90% chance of winning.
Really?
The Electoral College.
And that's nationally.
Well, I mean, that's what matters, the Electoral College.
Oh, right.
I mean,
sorry.
If we're just talking popular vote, he has a 97% chance of winning the popular vote. But the popular vote doesn't decide who wins the election.
Right, yeah.
As we all know, Clinton won by national popular vote by 2 points, and that didn't matter in the Electoral College.
Okay, so, yeah, let's talk probability, or let's talk, you know, maybe some key states that are going to make a big play. I mean, seriously, I'm really not familiar with what would make the most sense naturally or narratively speaking to begin with, so I would love for you to kind of walk us through why we're at that kind of, why 538 is predicting that. Can you give us a little bit more information?
It really just boils down to Biden having a lead in almost all of the swing states and there not being very much time left in the election, or rather the run-up to the election.
And now, which states are the swing states this election cycle? Because there's been a couple states that have come into play that have not come into play for several years, is my understanding. Is that correct?
Yeah, if we're talking all the states where the margin is, say, less than 10 points, or at least the expected margin less than 10 points, we have Texas, Iowa, Ohio, Georgia, Nebraska's 2nd District, Florida, North Carolina, Arizona, Maine's 2nd District, Pennsylvania, Nevada, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, New Hampshire. New Hampshire is probably, actually, that's probably out of that, so just up to Michigan then.
Yeah.
And the ones that are really competitive right now are really just Georgia, Maine 2nd, Nebraska 2nd, Florida, North Carolina, Arizona, Pennsylvania, and maybe Nevada to an extent.
And I'm surprised that Pennsylvania is in play considering Joe Biden's from there. Not that that necessarily completely 100% ensures a probability of winning, but why is Pennsylvania so competitive?
Well, you know, also, Mitt Romney was from Michigan and he still lost the state by like 12 points in 2012.
Right.
So being a native son doesn't necessarily help unless the state is inherently a competitive state.
True. That's true.
Obviously, you know, Donald Trump's from New York and he's still going to lose the state by 30 points.
Oh, for
like
sure.
In 2016.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But some of these states have not gone blue in several years. Like, isn't Georgia, North Carolina,
Georgia,
Florida? These are pretty big states to win.
Well, Florida goes back and forth. Florida has voted for the winner of every presidential election since 1964, with the exception of 1992, where they voted for Bush 41 instead of Bill Clinton. But
oh,
since 1964, other than 1992, they voted for the winner of every election. Ohio, on the other hand, has also voted for the winner of every election without missing a single time since 1964.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty incredible.
Although, funny enough, this might be the first year to break that streak, because Trump is slightly favored in Ohio over Biden.
But Georgia, North Carolina, these Arizona,
Georgia's not gone Democratic since 1996, neither has... maybe it was 1992. Either 1992 or 1996.
Yeah.
Georgia went Democratic, and then 1996, Arizona went Democratic.
Yeah. And,
North Carolina, 2008, it went to Obama very narrowly.
Gotcha. So what's going to be, you know, the determining factor, if that's necessarily the thing, to kind of solidify the win here, or the scales,
the tipping point state, which means the state that is most likely to be the 270th, or rather contribute the 270th electoral vote, is Pennsylvania right now.
Really? Why not Florida? Because isn't Florida like the big state that Trump has to win or he loses? What was that one state where you were like, that was Texas, wasn't it?
Well, it's sort of based on how likely it is to be won, and sort of how likely it is that if one candidate wins that state, it pretty much screws over the other one from winning.
Yeah, and that's Pennsylvania in this cycle?
If Biden wins Pennsylvania, I think Trump has something like a 2% chance of winning at that point.
Why? Does Pennsylvania determine then the rest of the...
No, it's just mathematically...
The reason why
Biden is up so much... probability wise is that he has way more paths to get to 270 than Trump kind of has to run the entire board to win, whereas Biden can afford to lose a lot of states, and he has like a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, a plan D. Trump has like, he has like one plan, and if it doesn't work, he sort of loses. Like, basically, if he loses Florida, that's checkmate right there. If he loses Pennsylvania, it's probably checkmate.
Is Pennsylvania worth a lot more?
It's worth 20 electoral votes.
Oh, shit. That is a lot.
Florida is 29.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So those are pretty rich electoral vote-wise states.
And what about Texas?
Texas is 38. It's the second most after California, which is 55. Oh. But California's not competitive.
Right. But is Texas more competitive? I thought people were saying Texas was looking to be competitive. Is it not really? There was some hope.
It is. Biden has a 37% chance of winning there.
Oh, well, yeah.
In a state that... voted for Trump by 9 points in 2016 and for Mitt Romney by 16 points in 2012.
Oh, damn.
Okay. It's, you know, Trump has a very narrow lead. He has less than the 2-point lead there currently, I think, according to polling averages.
Yeah, and did you say already what the statistics are of Trump winning over Biden? Or no, you said it's like a 90% chance of winning.
Right now, as it stands, Biden has a 90% chance of winning the Electoral College.
Gotcha. Oh, so here, this is something that I know our listeners will be very interested in, right? Because there's a lot of talk of, this time 4 years ago when it was Clinton versus Trump, the polls were saying Clinton was going to win, and, you know, they could be lying now, and how do we know what to believe? You know, we all woke up in 2016 the next day and Trump was the winner. So what would you say to people saying, you know, you can't believe the polls, we don't really know, we could still live in this nightmare? What would you say to that? What statistically is a little bit different?
Well, for starters, Biden has a much larger lead than Clinton
ever did. Ever.
And the race has been pretty stable compared to 2016.
When you say stable, what do you mean? Like, there's not as much of an up-down, up-down? There
hasn't been that much changes in support for both of them. I mean, there's been polling bounces for both of them. You know, Trump got a polling bounce after the RNC. Biden got a polling bounce after the first debate. But after both of them, eventually the polls will just regress to the mean and go back to where they were before.
Yeah, they're not dramatic bounces.
Biden has been at or above 50% nationally since June 1st.
Wow. And Clinton never even got to 50%. What was she,
like 46? No, she was stuck in the mid-40s the entire time.
Yeah. So that's where you feel pretty confident in the polls.
So for starters, it's much more stable. And second of all, it's much larger of a lead. He's about, according to 538's national polling edge, 8.8 lead, whereas on election day I think Clinton had like a 3-point lead.
Wow. And is this the largest lead that a candidate has ever had? Because I think you've been remarking, like, this is really, like, we're breaking records here.
It's the largest polling lead for a challenger to an incumbent, I believe, since, I don't even remember, a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to look it up again. I don't remember what the statistic was. Harry Enten wrote an article about it a couple months ago.
And how many challengers have actually defeated an incumbent? Because that's pretty rare too, right? Like, just twice?
I believe only four incumbents have lost re-election in the 20th century. There was Howard Taft. Then there was Herbert Hoover. Then there was Gerald Ford. And then there was Jimmy Carter. Oh, no, five. Herbert Walker Bush.
Mm. And so, what do you think has been the real, you know, determining factor? Like, why are we where we are? Why is Biden just killing it right now? Other than, I mean, let's, I feel like it's obvious, but then again, people, you know, he
still
has... It's
in large part due to COVID.
Okay.
It's Trump's worst issue, and he can't really, much to chagrin, he can't really spin it like he can everything else.
Right.
Because you look at other issues like the economy, he still breaks even on the economy despite it being a recession, the likes of which have not been seen since 2009. People still give him pretty good marks on the economy just because it was so good before COVID.
Yeah.
And but his approval on, like, his disapproval on COVID is like 50 minus, you know, it's like 56 or 57% disapproval.
Yeah.
And he has very low favorabilities. I mean, he had low favorabilities in 2016, but so did Clinton. And there was a large group of voters called double haters, which are people that dislike both candidates, and they swung towards Trump in the end.
Damn. But that won't happen this time, you think?
Biden has net positive favorability. He's like plus 7 on favorability. Trump's like minus 12 or minus 13.
Yeah. Well, what about, you know...
He's tried very hard to brand Biden, but nothing really sticks.
He being Trump?
Yeah, I mean, he always comes up with like a nickname. Like, he tried Sleepy Joe, and that... I don't know. Like, the nicknames he kind of pushes seem to only be exciting his base, and it doesn't really... The thing is, Hillary Clinton kind of had her reputation, like... attacked for 20 years by Republicans, so he kind of just needed to finish her off. He didn't need to do that much, so she was already kind of like a not super trusted politician image wise when she was running, and he just, you know, was able to add on to it. That, you know, the election interference and everything, you know, didn't work either. Whereas now we have all these big news cycles. They don't really shift the race that much. I mean, he got COVID, the president of the United States got COVID, and then I don't know.
Said it wasn't a big deal.
It didn't really affect. I mean, Biden got like a 1.5 point advantage, albeit, you know, it could have just been the first debate polling bounce, but then, you know, it went away and went back to the status quo, and everybody's sort of forgotten about it. And the thing is, like, nobody cares. Like, everyone's kind of like made up their mind. It's like you either love Trump or you hate him. There's no real in between here.
Right. Well, what about his tax returns thing? Did that?
Yeah, that's already like out of the. Nobody's talking about that anymore.
Well, but was there a bounce or a bump or anything?
No, I mean, I don't think anybody really...
ever.
The Democrats think it's an issue, the Republicans don't, and then, you know, at the end of the day, nobody really cares that much. Everyone's like...
They're pretty set.
You either love Trump or you hate Trump, and based on that, you're going to vote for him or vote against him, and there's a lot more people that hate him than love him.
Yeah. And I feel like, too, it wasn't like, oh my God, what an October surprise, because we all
I mean, right now, he's trying to push
his
Hunter Biden stuff, but... No, like, normal media companies are taking it up because there's no real hard evidence for it. It's kind of like Tucker Carlson this week is like, oh, I had, like, this flash drive with all this incriminating evidence, but the post office lost it, of all things.
That's, like, double
So basically
funny.
Saying, like, my dog ate my homework, but I swear to God, guys, I totally have all this evidence.
Yeah, it's really real, guys. Don't even worry.
I mean, it's, like, the stupidest John I've ever heard for, like, dirt. It's like... I totally have it, guys, but the mail lost it. Just like exactly. It lost my ballot.
Oh, right, yeah. Is that still a platform that Trump is going off of? Like, don't trust mail-in voting everyone shows up. But then he mailed in.
No, he's complaining. He says, like, all the votes have to be tallied up and done on election night, and everything else needs to be stopped.
Or else what?
Well, or else, I don't know, he'll sue the courts, and the courts will tell him to talk to the hand. I mean, nobody...
Yeah.
Fucking, you know, we've been counting provisional ballots for days after elections for years. There's a 35-day safe harbor period after election day, and that's been a thing since... Constitution was written, so it's not...
So he can't pull some, you know...
I mean, he can try. You know, he doesn't care about laws. Laws don't apply to him, but whether or not that actually works, I don't think so.
Well, and the Republicans won't back him, right? Because that's literally going against the Constitution.
I mean, you know, they're all about voter suppression, but it's kind of hard to do that when your opponent, like, clearly wins by a large margin.
When the writing's on the
wall. Like, if it's... No, I mean, like, if it comes down to one state and it's, like, 500 votes in Florida, like... It was in 2000, then yeah, I can expect the courts to maybe deliver the election to the home team like they did before. But if it's like Biden's winning most, if not all, of the swing states by comfortable margins, I mean, you can't really just say, well, these 7 million votes don't count because they're mail-in votes without any evidence. I mean, so I would lean more on that's just sort of a bullshit paranoid take.
Mm. All right, Patrick. So let's get down into, like, the nitty-gritty. Let's talk maps. Let's talk probability, likelihood, leaning, likely. Just, you know, let's talk maps. Let's talk maybe where or how, you know, you're developing these maps and what's likely to happen. So where should we begin in this process?
I'll just go by state categorization. So
okay.
If we look at safe states, safe Republican states are Idaho, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska at large, and Nebraska's third district, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, and West Virginia. That's 76 electoral votes that are solid. Safe for the Republicans. For the Democrats, you got Washington, Oregon, California, Colorado, New Mexico, Hawaii, Illinois, Virginia, D.C., Maryland, Delaware, New Jersey, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Vermont, New York, Maine at large, and Maine's first district, which is 212 electoral votes.
Okay.
People might disagree with me, Virginia.
Really? Virginia's been safe for a while.
No, I mean, it was more like lean or likely in past cycles, but Biden's been like up 12 or 13 points.
Oh, God, like, yeah.
This whole time, so it might even get called at poll closing. I don't know. It's not very competitive this year.
Yeah, okay. So then let's start.
All right, now if we go to the likely states.
Yeah, what are we looking at?
For likely Republican states, there's 31 electoral votes. Actually, I think I'd probably put Utah as safe rather than likely.
Okay. And what do those states include?
So likely states, let's see. Should I get everything?
Come on, Pat. I thought you just recently made a map. Do you want to just look at that?
No, I mean, I didn't save it. I got to put it back in every time.
Oh, okay.
So likely state to put, I mean, I remember what it is.
Right.
But I need to, like, look at it to read it off.
Yeah.
Likely Republican states, Montana, Kansas, Missouri, Indiana, South Carolina, Alaska, and Nebraska's first district. And that's 43 electoral votes. For Democratic likely states, we got Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan. Wisconsin, Michigan are both, would be flips from 2016. So those are... Interesting that they're likely to go Democratic. So they're not super competitive right now. Biden's been leading by about 8 or 9 points in both of them. And it might be that the huge outbreak of COVID in Wisconsin is probably helping him. ABC Washington Post had a poll that had him up plus 17.
Oh, wow.
Wisconsin, that's
really good.
That's an outlier. But, you know, you put in the average and it tilts the average further in his direction.
Yeah.
She's got Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, New Hampshire. That'd be what isn't a flip, but that was very close in 2016. I believe Hillary only won it by a point and a half.
Oh my God.
Minnesota was also very close. She only won that by about a point. Yeah. And Biden's pulling at about 8 or 9 points there right now.
Yeah.
I guess that's all the likely states for him. Now if we go to the lean states, I don't think any of them are leaning Republican. There's a lot of lean Democratic states. I'd put Nevada in that characterization. Arizona, that would be a flip from 2016. And Pennsylvania, that would be another flip from 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to put Maine second. Oh, Nebraska second would be lean. That would be a flip from 2016.
Gotcha.
Nebraska and Maine are weird. They allocate their electoral votes by congressional district rather than at large altogether. So they have two at large electoral votes, which is for who wins it statewide. And then every congressional district gives one electoral vote for the winner. Mm-hmm. So even though Trump is going to win Nebraska at large, Biden's going to win the second district, which encompasses Omaha and its suburbs.
Oh, okay.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's probably all I do for the lean ones. Now for tilt, that's like if it's just barely leaning one way or the other. Like it's, you know, it's basically a toss up, but just to, if you had to put a gun to your head and say which way is it going to go, I put, Iowa, Ohio, and Texas in the tilt Republican category.
Yeah.
And then I'd put North Carolina, Georgia, and Florida, and Maine's second district in the tilt Democratic column. That would bring you up to a final result of 351 for Biden, 187 for Trump, which would be a larger number of electoral votes than Obama in 2012, but less than 2008.
So what states, I mean, because what I'm worried about, what I think the country is worried about, is that this is all really great news, but, you know, what, you know, wasn't there a couple of states where when Hillary lost them, that determined, like, what are the states that if Biden loses it, like, it's all over?
The thing is that we're not going to have all the results on election night. It kind of depends on which state it is and what their rules are for counting mail-in ballots, because some states can't start counting mail-in ballots until election day for some stupid fucking reason.
Oh, whereas some others have already started counting?
Yeah, and I think, you know, in some of the states where they want to change the rules, the Republicans would, like, sue them in the courts to stop them from changing the rules.
Yeah.
Because literally everything they're doing right now is to try to make it so fewer votes count. So if one party is trying to make it so fewer votes count, that fucking tells you who's going to win.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Anyway,
but that's none of my business, sips tea.
Right.
Sorry, what were you saying?
So I was saying,
oh yeah, in 2016. So basically, like, the Rust Belt states are going to take a while to count their votes because they can't start counting until election day. So I think Pennsylvania is going to take a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like Biden's last stand if everything goes to hell in the Sun Belt.
What's the Sun Belt?
Is
that the lower?
That's like the South, so I'd consider the Sun Belt to be North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Texas, and Arizona.
Okay.
Of the competitive states.
Yeah.
Of the ones that are in his column slightly are Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, and Florida. So those ones actually should have results by election night, or at least early Wednesday morning.
Why? They start counting it two weeks ahead?
Yeah, Florida's like 2 weeks ahead. I'm not sure how early the other ones count ahead, but they should have full or most of the results in on election night. Right. And basically, if Biden wins any two of those, he has a greater than 99% chance of winning.
Any two of which?
Any two of Arizona. North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and Arizona. If he wins just Florida, he gets to a greater than 99% chance of winning. So either just Florida or any two, it's basically game over for Trump at that point.
Oh.
If he loses all four to Trump, it's not over because Biden can still win with the Rust Belt, but that's going to take a while to count, which means we may be waiting for a couple of days to know who wins the election.
Wow.
But yeah, if he wins any two of those Sun Belt states, that's basically GG right there.
So that's good. I mean, I feel...
Well, yeah, the fact that he can checkmate him that early, you know, that'd be nice, but we don't know. Those are also happen to be the closest polling states.
Right, yeah. And I guess, here's my other question. What sort of shenanigans...
And, you know, there is a chance of a blue Texas. You know, it's a 1 in 3 chance, but that's a respectable chance of a blue Texas.
And so my concern is that with this unknown, with us not knowing the results till a week or two, or how long do you think it'll even take, like some of these other states?
Like Pennsylvania, for example, said they expect to have all their results largely all done no later than Friday.
Oh, of election week.
So it's not likely it's going to take weeks to count, as Trump has tried to say. It's more like a couple of days at worst.
Yeah. Okay. Because they have dedicated people whose job is, like, doing this, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's still ballots, like, other ballots. It's just, like, you know, the ones that come in late is that takes a long time to count. But, yeah. You know, now they're suing. The Supreme Court keeps hearing all these different cases where sometimes they say they can't count them if they come in after election day. Another one say they can't. I'm not really sure what the Supreme Court's doing, why sometimes they think some states can and some states can't. They're not super consistent about.
Is it because Trump has filled the Supreme Court with his nominees?
If you would think that they'd be against it, they would just say no to all of them. They're only saying no to some states, and they're saying yes to others.
Oh, it's not even like a certain...
No, it's not blanket. They're like...
Ew, what?
They're like...
What is that? Yeah, what's up with that?
I forget which one. I think it's like Pennsylvania, they can't count if it comes in. Or was it Wisconsin? I don't know. There's like one state they said they can't count the ballots that come in after Election Day. Yeah, I think it was Wisconsin. Fucking Brett Kavanaugh said, like, I don't know. He wrote a really stupid fucking majority opinion. That's one of the few times I've ever thought, like, a majority opinion of the Supreme Court was just outright fucking stupid. But
what's an open majority opinion mean?
Well, like whenever they make a decision, the person is in the somebody of the majority decision, you know, people of the people that voted it with the majority, they write the opinion of the court.
Oh, okay.
And it's just a really dumb opinion about his logic. I mean, he even incorrectly cited Vermont as not changing their rules to adapt to COVID when they did. And their attorney general actually called out Kavanaugh to say they should correct his statement. But,
Jesus. Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. When you're an alcoholic rapist, what do you expect?
Yeah. So what I want to ask you, so what kind of shenanigans do you think Trump is going to pull? Because it's looking like, statistically speaking, it's not going to be a good night for him. So what kind of shit is he
going to
pull?
No, I mean, the thing is, like, you know, some people were afraid there's going to be a phenomenon called a red mirage where it looks like he's leading by a lot because all the in-person votes would be counted first.
Yeah.
And so that would be skewing heavily Republican because Democrats skew heavily in the early vote, which takes longer to count in some states. So it looked like Trump's winning, and then he might go and declare himself the winner, even though they haven't been officially called yet.
Well, but he's not allowed to do that, because...
Well, I mean, he's allowed to say whatever he wants, whether or not, you know, anybody cares. I mean, his followers might believe him, and then maybe they'll get pissed off and do a bunch of violence or something because they disagree when the actual results come in. But, you know, we'll have to see what happens.
Well, no, so what shenanigans do you think he's going to pull? So he's going to say he's the winner?
I mean, he's
going
to start a lot of court cases to try and challenge all the results.
Is he going
to try
and...
some of them may or may not go up through the courts, but I don't think he's going to be able to overturn, like, a very clear Biden victory in states. Like, if it's like Florida, then yeah, the pessimist in me thinks the court is just going to deliver the result to the home team and give it to Trump. If it's that close. But the thing is, there's not that many states are going to be that close.
It doesn't seem like it, right?
It's probably not going to come down to one state. It's going to be several. So he's going to need to do several lawsuits in several states and have to hope that all of them go his way. I mean, I don't really see that happening.
And what do you think about his whole...
And based on the decision they've done so far with early voting, you know, they haven't really been delivering the Republican, you know, agenda consistently. So I'm not entirely sure they would just hand him an illegitimate victory.
Really? Because they seem to lack a spine, or have lacked a spine this whole year, so this is just something that's
so
clearly...
Well, I'm talking about the Supreme Court.
Oh, got it. Sorry, I thought you were talking about Republicans.
No, I mean...
I guess in this case, they can't really do... Yeah, it doesn't really come up to them. There's a whole hierarchy of people who get to make decisions about this, right?
Well, I mean, you know, they can decide how they want to act when Trump starts, you know, saying dictator-level shit where he doesn't care about the results. They can, you know, decide how they want to reprimand him or not reprimand him. But
has he followed up with that, saying the transition of power or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, he still hasn't committed to a peaceful transition of power, but it's not really... I mean, he's going to get dragged out of the White House on January 20th regardless. Because his term expires if he's not reelected. So Pelosi would become president if we don't have an elected president by then.
Yeah, he can't just will himself out of trouble like he has been able
to. No, I mean, unless for some reason all of law enforcement and the military decides to back him as an illegitimate president like Maduro in Venezuela, but I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, we're just not a dictatorship yet, right? Well, I mean, right?
The thing is, Patrick, you know, he would need the military to be on his side. He's pissed off so many people at the Pentagon. I don't really see them going with that.
Yeah. And also, we're not a dictatorship, right?
Patrick. I mean, Trump acts like a dictator. And yeah, because of what Congress has done over the years to give so much power to the presidency and given up their own responsibilities because they can never get anything done, you know, they've made the president
kind of
very off, you know, autocratic. But, you know, it kind of depends on people actually following the rules.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just remember four years ago, I asked you, because Patrick is sort of my political expert that I always go to. I always ask his opinion, and what do you think? Because he follows this stuff just a lot better than I do, and you told me, oh yeah, Hillary's probably going to win, and then I was surprised and upset, and of course there's, you know, statistics that indicate why things happened the way they did. And
well, I mean, she probably was going to win. I mean, that's at least what the polls said. But then again, you know, it was a normal-sized polling error in the Rust Belt that made her lose. And that's within the realm of statistics.
Yeah.
Trump had a 30% chance of winning. 30% is a very respectable chance of winning.
Yeah.
Sure, you'd rather be the person who's at 70, but 30 is, you know, 70 is not safe at all.
Right. And, I mean, at 90, for... I
90,
mean,
it's not safe either, but it's pretty comfortable.
Yeah. Do you think there's anything that could happen that would really tip the scales? Or are we pretty much... I mean, it's only 3 days out. Like,
well,
what else
to take a quote from Trump, I think Biden could shoot someone in Fifth Avenue and it wouldn't make a fucking difference.
Yeah. Well, what about these,
Especially not when, like, you know, 90 million people have already voted.
Wait, 90 million?
Yeah. Wow. Let me see what the early vote total is.
Yeah, wasn't it just like 60 million a week or two ago? Holy smokes.
I mean, it's going up by more than a million a day.
Wow. Yeah, let's look at this. What are we looking at in terms of early voting stats? And how many people live in the U.S.?
330 million, I think.
Wow.
But the only people that are eligible to vote is like 230, I think.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, so far in early voting, 65.5% of the total turnout of 2016 has voted early. So 65.5% of all the people that voted in last year's election have voted early this year.
Wow.
In Texas, 107% of the amount of people that voted in 2016 have voted early.
Do you think anyone's going to... So, I guess, what do we expect to see on Election Day? I guess very few
probably
people.
The highest turnout since 1960.
Really?
We're probably going to have over 60% turnout.
Even with so many absentee and early voting, we'll still see on the day of a lot of in-person voting?
No, I'm talking about altogether.
Oh, sorry. Okay, gotcha. Altogether the best...
No. Yeah. It's going to be lower turnout than normal on Election Day, but...
overall.
Once you add all the votes all together, it's probably going to be over 60% turnout, which is still kind of pathetic when other countries get it over 90%. But, you know, the Electoral College kind of, like, limits the incentives to vote in a lot of states. And, of course, you know, with the way that laws are written to disenfranchise people by adding barriers to vote, you know.
It makes
people
sense.
End up saying, why should I vote? If you're a Democrat in Idaho... Or even a Republican, I know, why would you vote when your state's going to go 25 points Republican every single cycle? There's not much of an incentive.
Yeah, that makes sense. And with all that being said, I guess the best way to kind of wrap this all up is just kind of our final thoughts. You know, 3 days out, how we feel... about it, how we think it's going to go, just, you know, what are some of your closing statements, Patrick, that you'd like to share with the audience?
Don't be surprised if Biden wins by double digits.
Wow, that, you feel confident in that?
Biden is just as likely to win Texas as, actually, Biden is more likely to win Texas than Trump is to win Florida right now.
Ooh, okay, good. And by the way, just for background
information. Not by much, you know, it's like 37% chance in Texas, 35% in Florida. But when Florida is like the key swing state in every election, and Trump has lower odds of winning that than Biden does of Texas. I mean, that kind of like tells you the state of the race. So yeah, can Trump win? Sure. You know, but it's a 1 in 10 chance.
Yeah. And I, by the way, folks, for background, I'm not here kind of sitting and being a Debbie Downer or anything. I just, I'm nervous. I'm a nervous Nelly.
Well, I mean, it's like one result, we kind of like go back to some semblance of normal. The other result, we have the complete and utter collapse of democracy and become a full-on dictatorship.
Yes, that is truly my worry, and I have had...
So yeah, there's a 10% chance of that happening, which, you know, even though it's low, when you think about what the result is, that makes it sound much worse than, well, I mean, the expected value, I guess, is much larger.
Yeah.
Just because of the outcome multiplied by the percentage.
Yeah. I mean, I feel very confident. I voted for Joe Biden. Everyone I know did. My whole family did. We're very, we very much want him to win. I'm just... cautiously optimistic because, I don't know, I've been having, actually, truth right here is, or true story, I should say, I've been having nightmares about this election for a couple months now, honestly, since 2020 began, but it's really, my nightmares have really ramped up in the last week, I guess because we were a week out this past week, and I'm just nervous. I'm nervous about what's to come, but I am hopeful. I'm very excited because this has just been a really hard year on a lot of levels for so many people around the world, not just here, but I feel like we're really going through it here because we have the worst president ever running our country and just with so much blood on his hands, and he does not care an ounce about that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to a good election night. Myself, Patrick and I will actually be watching it together for the most part, or at least however long I can stay up. I should probably cancel my morning meetings on Wednesday, if I'm being honest with myself. But, yeah, any other kind of, like, final thoughts or final words that you'd like to share with the audience? And, I don't know, just anything
on your mind? I mean, if you haven't voted yet, just... vote.
Yeah, for sure. Vote, because
unless you're voting for Trump, you can go fuck yourself.
I second that. And what's really exciting about this episode is that we're actually also going to do a follow-up. I'm thinking we're going to combo it with this episode, or maybe split it up. I have yet to kind of see how I feel about it. But we are going to do kind of an election wrap-up a week or two after the fact and just see how it goes and see how it lines up and measures up to Patrick's predictions. So stay tuned for that. Well, that's it for our show. And thanks so much, everyone. Stay safe, stay well. Please go vote and have a great rest of your day. That's the end of our show. This is your host, Alana Rippey. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at huaf.productions. We post every other week, and you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And until next time, the best ship to sail on is friendship.